Wonga, and I'm interviewing
Henry Olson.
Okay, and this interview will begin in a minute. Could you please tell me your full name and age?
C. Henry Olson, and I'm 80.
Okay. Have you lived all your life in Bridgeport?
With the exception of 8 years that I spent in New York City when I was going to school and worked for a few years after graduation in New York City.
So you were born here?
Born in Bridgeport, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Could you please tell me a little bit about yourself?
Like what? Employment or whatever?
Were your parents residents of Bridgeport?
Both my parents were residents of Bridgeport and both immigrants from Sweden.
Could you tell me if you know the reason for which they came here? Did it have anything to do with employment?
No. My father, believe it or not, came to this country as a very young man to escape the Swedish military service. And I don't know why my mother came. She probably thought she'd be better off in this country.
You don't remember much about your homeland, do you?
Sweden? I was in Sweden once. I learned to walk there. And that's the last time I've been there. In fact, my mother took me over there to brag about their first offspring to her parents and his parents.
Mm-hmm. I see. How many family members were living in your household while you were a child?
Well, my father, my mother, one brother and one sister. There were five altogether.
Can you describe the family life? The roles of wife, husband, and children.
Describe it?
Yeah, as in.
That's a difficult thing to describe. We had a pleasant life. My father worked in Bullard's, mm-hmm. Whereas he wasn't a wealthy man. We had food on the table and a comfortable place to sleep. If that's your question. My mother died very young. She was only 42, and at that time I was 18 or 19. So we had kind of a peculiar situation for a few years while my younger brother and sister were growing up. Mm-hmm. Possibly that's
Did
the...
Did you have to get a job because of that? Did that affect
No,
you?
It didn't. In fact, I started to work very young and save my money because I wanted to go to school. And by the time I was ready to go to college, I had saved up enough to take care of almost 3 years' expenses. And then, of course, I made some money in three summer vacations, and my parents helped me with the last year.
Did you have any duties in the household, as in things that were expected of you, in helping your parents?
Well, not too much, no. I think my
were
parents...
Were you the oldest, or...?
I was the oldest, yes. We helped out, of course, but I don't think there was any set program or schedule or anything.
But you helped because you wanted to, not because they needed it. Not as much because they were counting on you.
I think probably that's the answer. Yeah, that's it, yeah. And I was only about 12 years old and had an opportunity to work in a grocery store part-time, and I made the municipal sum of $2.50 a week.
Oh,
but
okay.
I saved it. I saved it, sure.
How old were you when you got your first job?
12.
12 years old?
Still going to school. And while I was going to high school, I worked for a dairy. It was a seven-day-a-week job. And before I was there very long, I was making $25 a week, which was a big salary for part-time work. And believe it or not, I went all through college, and my first job gave me $25 a week for full-time, which was kind of a letdown.
Wow.
I got out of college in 1926. And things went along very well until the Depression came along. And of course, I lost my job, and my father lost his. And it was kind of a difficult period for a couple of years. Is that the kind of information you're looking for?
Yes. How did you manage during the depression? How did you finally come through?
Well, actually, after I lost my job in New York and couldn't find anything there, I came home to Bridgeport and managed to scratch around and get not any appreciable income, but pick up some money. And I took straight commissions selling jobs. I had two or three of those, and then I was having difficulty getting enough money for gasoline to do my selling job, so I worked nights in the service station to pick up gas money. And after I'd done that for a while, they offered me a job at 30 cents an hour. And of course, 30 cents was worth a lot more now then than it is now. And
was that a good salary?
No, it wasn't really, no. But it wasn't a good salary, but it kind of kept things together.
As for the work you're doing.
That's right. For the work I was doing, I guess it was all right. And I had the job of being substitute manager for service stations, and I went from one to the other. And
when was that? How old were you when you got the job?
Well, that was in 1930, so that of course would make me about 26. And during that winter, some of the managers took sick, so I got a lot of hours. I was working on an average of 100 hours a week. Of course, that gave me $30 a week, which was good in those days.
What was actually going on during the Depression year? What actually happened?
What actually happened? A lot of people were out of work. And of course, there was no unemployment then. You had to scratch and do what you could. Of course, my father had some savings. Of course, mine, I didn't have any.
Were there food lines and food shortages, rationing?
No, there was no rationing. Then what the rationing was is what the money you had to buy.
But you could find enough food.
Oh, sure, there's no problem getting food as long as you had the price.
How did people react to this no job situation? What did they do?
Well, they did the same as we did the best we could. Of course, there were some government...
Was unemployment?
No unemployment, no, but there was some what they called WPA work, where people who were unemployed could work and pick up a small amount of money each week that was federally financed, as I remember it. I think they call it the WPA. Mm-hmm. And they did, was make work projects.
So that helped some?
Oh yes, helped quite a few people, yes. And then some of the teenagers, they went to so-called camps where they got their room and board, and they worked like in parks and government.
So teenagers were forced more or less to get jobs to help the parents out.
Well, yeah, take care of themselves anyway, yeah.
Let's go back to your teenage years again. Can you tell me what religion you are?
What?
Do you go to church?
Yes, I'm a member of the Lutheran Church, St. Mark Lutheran's Church, right over here at the end of the lot.
Uh-huh.
Have been for quite a few years.
Okay. About schools, what kind of courses were offered in school?
What school are you talking about? Oh, well, in high school they offered French, Spanish, and German, as I remember it. It was a subject I was very poor in. But I managed to graduate.
Was anybody able to attend school? Like, could only the rich people attend school?
Oh, no, no, no. There wasn't anything like that at all. Attending school in this country is compulsory. Everybody.
Everybody.
Sure. If you didn't attend school, your truant office came around to find out why.
Give me examples of educational experiences, things that you did in school. is that would be different from what we do today, if you know what we do today, of what you hear.
I don't know, it's that much different. I don't really know.
Have children activities changed over time?
Say that again?
Have children activities changed over time? As in
I think they might have changed some, although I'm not sure. I think they have some subjects that we didn't have when I went to school. I think probably in grammar school and possibly in high school as well, but I don't think it's too much different. They get the basics, I think. I haven't questioned my children and grandchildren on it too much.
I see. Because most people find a big difference in the way they were brought up and the schools and everything, that the teachers were harsh and everything. That we consider them not
well,
harsh, but
now that
they're
you're
actually
yeah.
getting the point across and people think that it works.
But I think very possibly one difference, now that you mention it, I think probably they had better discipline when I went to school than they have now. I think that's true. That's one outstanding difference I didn't think of.
Can you tell me more about your childhood?
Like what?
As in?
Well, my father bought a house across from Black Rock School so we didn't have to walk too far to school, which was nice. And then when I got to high school, we moved to about a mile away.
Were you restricted in any way? As in, did your parents ever say, no, you cannot go out, or no, you have to stay?
Oh, yes, we had some restrictions, limited to the
time
we had a home and things like that. We'd always have to let them know where we were going. Sure, I think that's a normal situation with most families.
Okay. Can you describe the block on which you lived? Was it any different from the rest of the
city? No, I don't think so. If you want to go up to School Street here, which is the next street.
Is it very much the same? Did it change anything?
No, it's pretty much the same. When I lived there, The two first houses on the right-hand side of the street going west are still there, and they look pretty much the same. And the third house does as well. But since we moved from there, they put an addition onto Black Rock School, for one thing. And then they built three more houses on the left-hand side of the street.
So would you say things have improved? Would you say that the block has improved? In any way?
No, I think it's probably staying pretty much the same. There was an empty lot at the end of the street. That's the only difference in when I lived there. Of course, I think, if I remember correctly, we when I was going to grammar school, we used to have trolley cars on Fairfield Avenue. And they're gone, if that's a question. Now there's buses.
Yeah.
And there was a few years we had what we called jitneys, private cars running up and down and take you downtown for a nickel.
When was the first car? When did you buy the first car, or maybe your parents, I should say?
My parents' first car was a Studebaker touring car, and I think it was probably a 1921. It stayed in the family for quite a while because as they got older, I got to drive it myself.
It wasn't a very affordable thing like it is these days.
Oh, no.
It
was at that time, you were considered pretty well fixed if you had a car. That's true. And of course, then you had a touring car with side curtains if it rained and stuff like that, if that means anything to you. In fact, in 1927, I took a trip across the country that lasted several months, and we were in a Dodge touring car with side curtains, so that when we were driving, if it rained, we'd have put up the side curtains. Of course, you don't have to do that now, if that has any interest for you.
Um, Can you tell me what activities you were involved in during your teenage years, as in special church activities, school activities?
During my high school years and teenage, I didn't have too much activities because I was between going to school and working. There wasn't too much spare time. But there'd be, you know, local parties in some of the houses, house parties and things of that kind. Maybe
so
a dance
private?
Once in a while. Huh?
Were they mostly private?
I would think so in my
not
time.
Something block activity or
no, not
or
too much.
Church.
Not too much. Of course, my parents were before they were married, members of two different churches. If I remember correctly, one was a Methodist and one was a Baptist. And in the beginning, they took turns going to each other's church. And as things went along, it kind of depreciated, and the kids wound up whatever church was handy, I guess.
Was there any racism going on?
Any racism?
Yeah.
Well, it was not noticeable to me. Of course, at that time, there were very few blacks or Spanish or Puerto Ricans in the area. They were mostly white. I think there might have been some feeling, although I think very little, between the different nationalities as they came in.
Like, did you have any friend that couldn't get a job or anything because of its color or race?
No, I didn't run into any of that. Although, in Black Rock, it was funny. There was a lot of Scandinavian people living in Black Rock, and then as they prospered, they moved to Fairfield, and as they were moving to Fairfield, a good many Hungarian people moved in. Mm-hmm. And you asked about...
Did that change?
You asked about racism, and I know there's one example. In the middle 20s, I was still living in New York, and this very nice, intelligent, colored man, he was end on the football team, a good football player, and not too bad as a student. And I was down in Grand Central Station, and there he was a porter, carrying bags around. And that made me feel kind of bad that a fellow could go through college and wind up smashing baggage. But I never did hear, but I think he did eventually get a better job.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to, you mentioned Hungarians. Did that change them moving in? Did it change the community in any way? Or
not too much, I don't think. They took good care of their homes, and they were hardworking people.
So no, people got along pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, some of these people that came from the other side, they didn't learn the language like you did. They would speak their own language at home, and the women in particular would have some difficulty with English.
Tell me anything that you remember about World War I or World War II. How did it affect your family or the people around you?
Well, my family was kind of a peculiar one. When World War I came around, I was too young for the service and my father was too old. And World War II came along, I was too old. My son was too young.
Oh, wow.
So we escaped.
So,
escaped military service, really three generations, because my son now is pretty nearly 44, so he won't have any military service.
So it didn't affect your life that much?
No, it didn't. Of course, during the war years, it did affect it in the respect that we had rationing and things like that. And then we had the so-called air raid wardens, which I was one during World War II. But that was sort of I don't think it was ever truly used except for an occasional emergency in our own country. I'm sure there wasn't any raids or anything. And when it came to the end of the First World War, that was exciting. That day the armistice was declared.
Oh.
And I remember getting all excited and going downtown and watching the parades and hollering with everybody else. And I came home so late, my father was very angry. I remember that.
I see. How old were you then?
Well, I was born in 1904, and the war was over when? 1920? What? I forgot. I was 16, 18, and around there, about 14, 16, I think.
How did the war affect Bridgeport economically, as well as other communities and cities?
Well, it affected Bridgeport. It made it a rather busy town because it's an industrial town. Jobs were quite plentiful, and I guess people were making pretty good money, the ones that were working, and I guess most of them were. Bullard's over here, they had some war work, and then there was another factory that made machine guns, and then of course Remington UMC is here, and GE, they all became quite busy. Well, I don't think the port was that active. Some activity, but not that much. Go back many years, Black Rock had a busy port, but it's many years since that happened. That was before my time, I guess.
I see. So you wouldn't really remember that.
No.
Were there very many immigrants that came during that time, during the war? Looking for jobs? And
I don't really know. I don't think there were too many. I'm not too knowledgeable on that. I believe there'd be some problem for immigrants getting to this country because of the war situation. They wouldn't be permitted to leave their country. And in some countries, if they would be permitted to leave, there might be some fear of going on the boat with all the submarine activity for one thing, and then for another, lost my train of thought there. I expect there wasn't too much transportation available with all the shipping devoted to the war project. Am I talking loud enough, do you think?
Yeah, really.
I'm inclined to talk too low.
It's okay, it's a home. Did the Depression have anything to do with the war? Do you think it had anything to do with it?
No, I don't think so, because that was quite a while after the war. The Depression didn't start until 29, 30, 31, in there. The war was long since gone, but before then. We had a period of real good prosperity in the middle 20s. It was really good. Everybody was rich.
Wasn't that? There was something about the Roaring 20s.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody was, not everybody, but most people were making out pretty good financially. Mm-hmm. And of course they had to spend their money somewhere, and some of them spent it kind of foolishly, maybe. Dancing and drinking and whatever. That's probably what they mean by the Roaring 20s.
How about the Roaring 50s? I bet that's a whole different story.
Well, I wasn't roaring very much in 1950. I don't think I've heard that expression. Have you heard the Roaring 50s?
Just recently, that's why I couldn't say much about it. Can you tell me anything about Barnum?
Barnum was a very interesting man. Of course, I never knew him, naturally. He's dead many years before I came around. But as you know, they have the Barnum Festival every year.
Yes.
And so in memory of him. And
you wouldn't remember any escaping animals and stuff like that?
No, but I have some knowledge of the circus, of course. if you're familiar with your Barnum history, he was a very alert and sharp businessman. He did a lot to develop the East Side and built both building and making it a prosperous setup. And you must know something about the Seaside Park area where he lived. And I think a couple of those buildings down there were his. In fact, Seaside Park was given to the city by Barnum, if you know that. What else about Barnum? And there's a building on State Street between Norman and Arniston Avenues where I worked for a few years, where they used to keep the elephants, and where the Barnum Project is down here in Black Rock. That's where the circus used to come in, set up their tents. Of course, that's built up now, so they can't use that.
You wouldn't remember much about Thumb Thumb and his cute little coaches that he wrote?
Well, of course, I wasn't around when he was around, but he must have been a very interesting character, too, because there's a building up on North Avenue near Maine. I guess you'd call it Boston Avenue in Maine, where he lived. And I think it's still there. In fact, I don't know whether it's still there or not, but Tom Thumb Florist is in the building where Tom Thumb used to live. It must have been something, too.
There was a little story about Bursley Park. Do you know anything strange that happened there?
Bursley Park. Well, there's a statue.
How was it originated?
Well, Bursley Park, as you come into the entrance, there's a statue of Mr. Bursley. And I'm not sure, but I think he was the one that donated the land to the city. And while you're on the subject of donating land, there's a Ellsworth Field down the end here of corner of Ellsworth Street and Brewster, where they play baseball and one thing or another. That rather large lot was donated to the city by a fellow by the name of Smith. I can't think of his first name, but he was alive while I was a youngster. And this house is the Bartram Center. Was in the Bartram family for many years until about, not exactly sure, about 25 years ago. And the fellow who built it was a ship owner.
Wow.
And of course at that time he had ships down here running into Black Rock Harbor. Of course, that goes way back, because he was long gone by the time I was around. And this, of course, a lot of this land around here, around this house, was owned by that family, but each generation sold off a little bit until the last. Mrs. Bartram sold this building to the church.
Could you tell me about activities and what did you do for fun, to be very frank about it, as you were growing up?
As a youngster?
Yeah.
Well.
Teenage dating.
Well, teenage dating, I don't think I had too much of that. I think as a teenager, the last year or so of grammar school and high school, there were some three or four young fellows that, well, on Sunday afternoon we'd go for a walk and wind up at someone's house for coffee and cake. That was our extent of our amusement. If we had money to spend, maybe we'd get an ice cream soda as a treat. That was our fun on a Sunday.
How about theaters like Majestic and Lowe's Poly?
Well, Majestic and Lowe's Poi, they were operating. Yes, we used to go to the movies down there. Had vaudeville. We'd go there once in a while. I don't think it was a regular thing. I remember as going to grammar school, there used to be a movie house up here in Black Rock. It's gone now. But Saturday afternoons, like when we were going to grammar school, you could go up there and see a serial and a movie for a nickel.
Wow.
A nickel was a lot of money. You could get an ice cream cone for a nickel then.
Yeah, but now it's not.
That's right.
I wish it was, though.
Yeah, well, money's worthless.
How about dancing centers like Ritz Ballroom, Polka Dot Playhouse?
Well, Ritz Ballroom, when they first started, they were on Brooklawn Avenue, and they attracted some real good musicians. And then I forgot what year they moved out here to Black Rock. Did you know about that? In Fairfield Avenue corner of the dance hall ran between Cortland Avenue and I forgot the name of the other street. Rather nice, large dance hall. And I would say in the 20s and well into the 30s, they used to have some real big name bands there. In fact, that sometimes attract such big crowds with their name bands that the people couldn't dance. They just went in and listened. And in 1930, I ran a gas station across the street from the Ritz Ballroom, all right? Because there was a parking problem, and by staying up late, I could collect quite a few quarters for parking in my empty space.
I see. How about bowling? Was that a hot place?
Like, well, we had a...
Duck
pins were very popular in this area. I never became very good at bowling. We had a bowling alley in Black Rock. In the time I was going to high school, I would say. In fact, even after that. And some of my friends became exceptionally good bowlers. But I never did very well at it myself.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Can you tell me about any of these as in Korea?
Any what?
Korea or Vietnam, civil rights. Is there anything you remember about them?
You better wait. Korea, I can remember, and Vietnam as being a very unpopular war. In fact, many of us wondered what kind of a policy we were getting into, where we would go over there and do a lot of fighting with no intention of winning. Or to many of us, it seemed like it was money and lives being thrown away. You wonder why we got over there in the beginning. Possibly I didn't understand the policies of the country, but there was some talk that if we didn't go in there, that someone would come along and take Hawaii and come over the West Coast and all. But I have sometimes wondered whether that was so or not. But I don't claim enough to know enough about foreign policy to come to any firm decision, but at that time I think many people were not too keen on that war. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. How about Korea? You don't remember much about Korea.
Well, I was old enough, but all I really remember is a war, and we wondered there too why.
It didn't affect your lives in any ways? It was all outside the country, people would leave, and it's just
that's
things
right.
That you would hear about.
Well, the only way it affected our lives was that I think many of us were upset because we were into the war. Of course, we read the papers and all.
Nobody in your family had to go?
No one in the family, immediate family went, that's right.
How about the civil rights? Can you tell me anything about the civil rights?
Well, civil rights...
what was actually going on?
Well, I think I'm trying to remember when we really got into civil rights. I think that the blacks and the in particular. I think they've been put down too much. I think they should have more opportunities than they've had. Mm-hmm. But I also think that we're correcting the situation, because you can go into a bank today and you can have a colored girl wait on you and you don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And I think many years ago, if you had something like that, I think people would wonder a little bit whether they would be qualified.
So there was racism going on?
I think so. I think there was some, I don't know what the word I'm struggling for, say lack of favoritism. I've had some very, very nice friends amongst the colored people. And if you gave them a job, if they could do it, they certainly did it. And then, of course, there's some of what we used to call then the coloreds. They were a little bit irresponsible. I think very possibly it wasn't their own fault, because if a family lived as a slave, they didn't really have to make any decisions, or they didn't have to think. They just do what they're told. And I think it has taken a few generations for them to get out of that, if you follow what I'm trying to say. Are you turning it on? Did you turn it off? Is it on again? It takes a little while for them to get ahead. In other words, I think if they
weren't given the chance.
Yeah. I think if some of these people would somehow or other, hook up our crook, stay into school to get themselves a little education, they'd be qualified for taking good jobs. But, and I think some of them have a chip on their shoulder, expecting to be president of a bank when they can't do anything better than sweep the floor. They're looking for jobs they're not qualified for. Now, I think if a colored or a black or whatever you want to call them is qualified, they'll get the job, because competition, you want that talent. Look at baseball now. It's almost entirely black, because that's something they liked, and that's something they tried, and that's something they excel at. In fact, most of them are better at it than whites.
Yes, but they really couldn't prove themselves because they weren't given the chance to prove themselves. As in,
that's true.
I'm sorry, we don't have the job.
That's right. That's true in the beginning, but after a few of them broke that line, they really got in there. It's also true of entertainers. Entertainers do an excellent job when they're black. And there was didn't seem to be any great restrictions there. There were in the beginning, sure. A black man couldn't entertain in the South and one thing or another. But the real good ones got there. And I think it's true. I think it's true of anything. If you're good, they'll take you, regardless. It might not have been true a few years ago, but it is now. But I think where some companies make a mistake, they'll hire a black because he's a black, and then find it's not working out because he's not qualified. And I don't think that's right either. I think that's going to the other extreme, which is bad. In other words, you can't hire someone because of his race rather than because of his qualifications, and I think there's some of that going on. In other words, I think in some cases the pendulum has swung just a little too far. Maybe I sound like a racist myself, but I think that's an honest opinion.
Really. How about the hippies?
The hippies? Don't know too much about them. Don't know too much about
them.
I don't really know. I never really got associated with them. Anything I know about the hippies, I saw on TV or whatever. That's all.
Is there anything else that's special or different that you'd like to let me know about? As in something that you've experienced or something that happened?
Gee, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I think I've had a a checkered and varied life, I think. But what to tell you about it, I don't really know. Do you want to know about Black Rock history, or what do you want to know?
Anything you'd like to tell me.
Gee.
I'm all ears.
You are? I only see two.
How about shopping centers? Were there any major shopping centers?
Well, that's a change, a big change in the respect that local stores seem to be taking a back seat, and the shopping centers are really coming into their own. I can remember not too many years ago, we'd have a couple of chain stores in the Black Rock area, and then all of a sudden the store was too small and they shut it down and it went into a shopping center or made a larger store, and actually for some people that has become inconvenient to do their shopping because they've got to go a little distance to find a store. I also think that maybe they're building too many shopping centers and they might be in trouble because they have too many, number one. And then of course the fact that we have those shopping centers is kind of depreciated the downtown areas. In other words, the downtown areas in many towns are depreciating because people don't go there anymore. They go to the shopping centers, and then of course the stores can't make out, so they close up, and you got trouble, right? To follow that. But they keep building them.
Yeah,
of course, the people, the developers that build them, of course, they do it because they want to make money, and they probably do. But eventually, I think we're going to get to the point where there's so many of them, none of them will make any money. And the pendulum might just go the other way.
Tell me, if you had a choice in bringing up your children these days and bringing them up those days, when you did, which would you choose? Would you choose then, or would you choose today, and why?
Well, I think that I'm just as glad I'm not bringing up my children now when I did, because we didn't have the problem with drugs and some other things that they have today. Possibly the whole society is becoming more permissive, and because of that, I think if I were raising a child today, I think I'd be a very worried parent. And even if I thought I was taking care of the discipline all right, you'd many times wonder because of associations and that when they went to school or whatever, of what they could get into. I think
anything, does it have your choice, does it have anything to do with the school systems?
Well, I was thinking when I said that about bringing up children, when I was thinking that, when I was bringing up children, I was thinking of my own children and grandchildren. Actually, they have come out pretty good. Maybe with one exception, out of six grandchildren, I wouldn't say he's really bad, but he has, for me, he's got some peculiar ideas, if you follow that. But so maybe the environment more than anything else, like in my chilling with my son, his oldest just got his master's degree and he's got a job to go to, and he's gonna right out of school make $16,000-$17,000 a year. So, and the other girl is still in high school. They'll probably turn out all right too. And then on the daughter's side, her eldest is a
How many children do you have?
Two.
A girl and a boy.
Yeah, and the daughter's family, the oldest one got married quite young.